A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare Short-Term Insurance Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
This is Yannick Noah.
Hi, this is Yolanda Barron from Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. And I'm very happy to introduce today the Tennis Podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Yolanda, for that brilliantly elegant intro there. What a wonderful way to start the podcast, and what a high bar to set us all for the next hour of content that you're about to hear, which will, I'm sure, be significantly less elegant. We are, though, myself, David and Matt, all together, not in the same room, far from it, but together on Zoom, which is what together means these days, isn't it? We are in three different locations, two different countries. Matt, it's Madrid calling.
Buenos dias.
Well, you've just created a very tough act for David to follow, Matt. Well done. Dropped him right in.
What was it I said to you earlier when I came on here?
It was something really weird, David, and I chose to ignore it.
I said it in Italian, didn't I?
I think you said hello, but in a dodgy accent.
I said buongiorno.
Sounded more like Borat than what you did then.
What does that mean?
Good.
It means hello.
Does it?
Yeah. Hello, oh. Good day in Italian.
All right. Good. Well, there you are. See? And actually, when we get on to discussing the Davis Cup finals, I've got the Italian group to talk about. So, you know, all fits.
Anyway, back to your Buenos Dias, Matt. How are you? How is Madrid? How are all things?
Very well, thank you. Yes, I like Madrid a lot, so it's been fun to be here. I have had some technological issues which I've had to solve. I've made a trip to the Apple store in Madrid already.
Yeah, for people that weren't already convinced of Matt's brilliance, please know that today he communicated the words broken headphone jack on my MacBook to a tech genius in a Spanish Apple store, which blows my mind. There's fluency and then there's that.
And he didn't do sign language or anything, or any sort of, you know, histrionics or weird accents like me.
And I must say, we're giving this guy far too much credit, calling him a genius, because he didn't manage to solve my issue. And
there never are actual geniuses, are there? There are always people that go, oh, did you back up?
Yeah, literally. That is literally
annoying,
what he
annoying, smug rather than a genius. But thanks for all your hard work over the years fixing the laptops that I've spilt various liquids on. David, how are you?
Very well. Very well, Catherine. Yeah. Just thinking about whether we've got a beeper button. But no. I'm really well, and delighted to be talking to Matt in Madrid. It was Prague the other week, Madrid this week. I don't know. My Solihull hasn't really got, you know, something to compete with it. You know, that doesn't feel quite right.
Where does Solihull compete with, David?
Yardley.
Maybe when I record in Reading, it's a sort of a glamour off between Solihull and Reading.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're all here and we're delighted to be here. I'm presenting, so there's nobody to ask how I am. But just so you know, my washing machine got fixed this morning by an Electrolux engineer who genuinely is a genius. And I'm full of the joys of spring as a result. It was on a knife edge. Had he not been able to fix my washing machine, my mood would be poor because I've run out of underwear. I've run out of everything.
This is the good mood, is it?
This is the good mood. You're experiencing it right now. Enjoy.
And this is the washing machine which worked a miracle during the US Open so as not to kill your phone.
It's a magical washing machine, but apparently it only has 11 months in it before a magical Electrolux man has to come and replace the pump. But anyway.
Maybe the iPhone killed the washing machine.
11 months? Is that just in time for the guarantee?
I paid for the 3-year guarantee because everything I own breaks. So we're fine. Happiness all round, I would say. And happiness on a tennis front because the Davis Cup finals kick off tomorrow in 3 different locations, in Madrid, in Turin, and in Innsbruck, Austria. There is going to be a lot of tennis happening, isn't there? It's going to be tennis central. I'm going to go from, I thought the tennis started today, full disclosure, because I felt like Matt's been out in Madrid for days now. Surely the tennis starts. Tuned in, tried to find it, no tennis. But yeah, I'm going to be going to from 0 to 100 tomorrow because there will be all the tennis from tomorrow. How should we do this? Should we do this by location, by group? So each location has 2 different groups. Each group has 3 different teams. Shall we go alphabetically?
I think we should definitely go by location because alphabetically does not match up with location, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Well, no, it does, because Group A and Group B, Matt, are in Madrid.
Yeah, but then it all goes to pot.
Yeah, but we'll start there.
Okay. So you're starting with Matt.
Starting with Matt, right, who is in Madrid. I mean, you're across all things Davis Cup, aren't you? But obviously particular eyes on Madrid and the 2 groups that we have there, which are Group A, featuring Spain, Russia, and Ecuador. Are we calling that the group of death? Because you can't have a team group competition without a group of death, apparently.
It's definitely the group of death in Madrid.
Okay.
Because the other group is Sweden, Canada, and Kazakhstan. And with Canada's withdrawals, Felix Auger-Aliassime and Denis Shapovalov both not playing, I think that's probably the weakest group in the whole competition, to be honest, and, you know, the most wide open for sure. Michael Immer is Sweden's top player, Vasek Pospisil is Canada's top player, and then Kazakhstan might even be the favourites in that group with Alexander Bublik, and obviously they tend to play quite well, in fact, in Davis Cup, I think, Kazakhstan. So that one is much more open, whereas, yeah, Group A with Russia, Spain and Ecuador. I mean, Ecuador, look, it's a tough draw. I think most draws were going to be tough, but that's about as tough as it could possibly get. They have 1 player inside the top 150. And of course, we know all about Spain and Russia's power. So I think, you know, that group really is going to come down to Sunday's match between Russia and Spain, which is a sellout.
Oh, wow. Mm. Brilliant. Remind me of the situation. There are 6 groups and obviously 8 quarterfinal places. So the group winners go through. What happens with the 2 remaining quarterfinal spots?
They go to the 2 best placed runners-up, and best placed is determined by matches and then by sets and then by games. So expect maths to be involved come Sunday.
Oh, good.
We've just had two blooming round robin finals in a row, and the Billie Jean King Cup. I can't take this.
It's a mathsy time of year, isn't it?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's all on you, Matt.
What I would say about the 3 location format, which is obviously new this year, is I'm interested to find out how much it all feels like one tournament, and I actually think that will end up being easier perhaps for both of you to feel like it's all one tournament, watching on TV and sort of darting across screens. I think when you're at a certain venue, you're just totally wrapped up in what's going on in that place. And personally, I'm very, very across what's happening in Madrid, you know, all the press conferences these last few days, and I'll be watching all the matches in Madrid. but I think it will be harder to get a sense of what's going on in the other groups. So I'm sort of interested to see how that plays out. There are lots of advantages, I think, of the three venues, namely a massive problem with this competition in this new format, which we saw for the first time 2 years ago, was the schedule. Matches were going on way into the night. And I think with just fewer matches in the same location, they will have solved that, fingers crossed. And also,
tennis will find a way to finish at 3 a.m. now. Tennis finds a way.
That is Riley Opelka will help,
I'm sure.
And also, I think another benefit of this new system is that there are very few matches going on in the mornings. You know, we talked about the Billie Jean King Cup, you know, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's just unreasonable, really, to expect a load of people to be able to attend that. Whereas,
oh, I thought we were going to say it's unreasonable to expect Catherine to be out of bed. That too.
Have we ever had any event over three countries at the same time? I don't think we have we? I mean, I suppose the closest, I mean, it's not countries, but ATP Cup, was that in different, the first version of that?
Different cities, yeah. Three different cities, yeah.
Yeah,
Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne.
But yeah, I mean, so one benefit is that most of the tennis starts 4 o'clock local time everywhere, which, you know, is going on in the afternoon, evening. It's just a better time for people to be able to attend, I think. And then there's morning sessions at the weekend when more people can attend. So I think scheduling wise, I think it will be an improvement. I'm just curious to sort of find out how it all feels, I suppose, with the different location.
The Spain team are fascinating, aren't they? There's obviously no Rafael Nadal. They're sort of led out. Their highest player is Pablo Carreño Busta, but I'm imagining that he's getting minimal attention within the Spanish team, media attention, media interest, all the rest of it, because Carlos Alcaraz is there and is evidently speaking very dreamily about what it means to him to be a part of this Spanish team. Incidentally, Feliciano Lopez is also in the team, and I'm keen to know if there has ever been a bigger age gap between team members than there is between Alcaraz and Lopez.
Yeah, 22 years the age gap between Feliciano Lopez and Carlos Alcaraz. There is Robert Lindstedt is here, and he's 44 for Sweden, and Michael Immer is 23, so that's an age gap of 21. And then I'm wondering whether Daniel Nesta and Felix Auger-Aliassime maybe have been on a team together for Canada. I could imagine there being a big age gap there. But yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. And I was in the Spanish press conference today, and Lopez and Alcaraz were sitting next to each other, and I asked Lopez, you know, can you sort of put into words how special Alcaraz is? You know, I know that's a hard question with him sitting right next to you and, you know, try not to blush or whatever. But, you know, he was really effusive in his praise for Alcaraz. I think everyone is just so impressed with just how he handles himself at 18. That was sort of what Lopez was trying to get across, on the court, off the court. And there was this lovely moment in the press conference where a journalist in Spanish asked all five members of the team for a word on Carla Suarez Navarro and their thoughts on her career and what a special person she is. And a couple of them gave their answers, and then, you know, they sort of wanted to move on with the press conference. There wasn't sort of time for all of them to give an answer because there were so many journalists still waiting to ask questions. But when Alcaraz was asked a question next, he actually said, "Oh, and I'll give you a word on Carla Suarez Navarro as well." Just stuff like that, I think, you know, is really quite something, actually. Not many players would do that. And I think that's just a little insight into how he gets it and just how mature he is and how nice he is as well. And obviously, he's the number two, as you said. He feels a bit like the number one. So much of the attention is on him. I don't feel like the number one role is really something that suits Pablo Carreño Busta that well. He's a fantastic sort of squad player. But actually, the way it's worked out might end up benefiting Spain because Coruña Busta will maybe play a match where he's not expected to win, which is perhaps a scenario he likes. And then they've got Alcaraz in the number two position, who could just go out there and, you know, sort of produce his best tennis and could secure a point for them in that number two position. So the reason Coruña Busta is number one is because Bautista Agut had to withdraw last minute. So they haven't got Nadal, they haven't got Bautista Agut, who are obviously the driving forces of that team when Spain won this event a couple of years ago. So they are weakened, absolutely. But they've still got a very, very strong team. And with Alcaraz part of it, it's going to be a great occasion, I think, his debut. All eyes on that.
Would it be fair to say Russia, who are also in Group A, or the Russian Tennis Federation, I should say, are not weakened at all? Is this a full-strength Russian team, which, you know, is a sight to behold, quite frankly, when you see those names all alongside one another?
Yeah, that's right. Daniil Medvedev, Andrei Rublev, Aslan Karatsev, and then in the fourth slot, Karen Khachanov. I figured out today he would be number one in 12 of the 18 teams at this event. And as it is, he's the number four for Russia. And it's a complete change of role for him because, you know, he was the guy 2 years ago for Russia because Medvedev didn't play this event. Khachanov was the number one. And yet Karatsev's meteoric rise, Rublev's, you know, steady improvement. He's gone from about 20 in the world to top 10. And let's be honest, Khachanov's sort of plateauing, even dropping over the last couple of years has meant that he's now in that fourth position. So, you know, how he steps on the court this week, I guess in doubles, but I'm not sure he'll get a singles slot. And it's quite interesting. I think it's maybe easier for him to accept that because he is friends with all these players. But
I hope he doesn't, though. I hope that's really motivating for him. I don't know. I don't know if he's that kind of character.
I don't get that sense, really. You know, I think we've talked about it before. That sort of lack of fangs with Khachanov has been something we've thought of. And I don't think he's in the fourth position thinking, God, I really want to be number one. But, you know, maybe he will get a chance and he'll play really well. But it's an interesting dynamic, that Russian team.
How do you think Evgeny Donskoy feels? He's Bears, isn't he? Bears on the maracas.
I mean, hasn't he always been?
Hey, he's the guy that beat Federer one time.
Can I change my prediction? Because I didn't know about him being fourth and being number one equivalent on 12 other teams.
It's quite some team, that Russian team. Look, I mean, maybe Medvedev and Rublev will be on fumes. Who knows? But the fact that they're there, says a lot. And I think the camaraderie among them will carry them some way.
Who plays doubles in that team?
Well, Rublev and Khachanov had a doubles vibe going a couple of years ago, didn't they? They were really successful, actually. They played Paris together as kind of prep. And I think they reached the final, actually, there. And, you know, they really got some chemistry going. But with the exception of Medvedev, who I don't think I've ever seen play doubles, have we seen Khachanov play doubles?
Yeah.
Maybe he's dabbled. Yes. Wasn't he successful in mixed at the French?
Karatsev, yes.
Somewhere.
Yeah, Karatsev, yes. With Vesnina.
Yes. So I hope Donskoy's got some good pom-poms, put it that way. So Group B, Canada, Kazakhstan, Sweden. We've touched upon them. Kazakhstan, I mean, across that group, Bublik is the standout singles player, isn't he?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to predict Bublik always, but rankings-wise, he's head and shoulders above anyone else in that group. Pospisil stepped up for Canada last time, if you remember. He played most of the matches ahead of Felix Auger-Aliassime, who picked up a bit of an injury, and he won all of them in the group. He beat Isner, he beat Fanini, he beat John Millman. He just played really great tennis for Canada, and you know, I think they're really relying on him doing that again. Dankovic said he'll be playing singles and doubles for sure. It's just a question of who fills in with him. They've got Braden Schnurr, they've got Steven Diaz, they've got Peter Polanski. I mean, who knows? I think it could be any one of those. But Pospisil's the guy for Canada. And then Sweden, captained by Robin Söderling, their main guy is Mikael Ymer. And we've seen great tennis from him in the past. In fact, I remember against Karen Khachanov, in fact, at the Australian Open. So, you know, we know what he's capable of, but really it is wide open, that group. I think it's very, very tough to call who's going to come through it.
Canada and Sweden kick things off in Madrid tomorrow. They're playing in the afternoon. Friday, it's Spain against Ecuador. And then Saturday, Sunday, it's all happening. Two ties on each day. So Russia will have to play back-to-back Saturday and Sunday. Heading now, David, to Turin, which feels like a familiar thing to say.
Yeah. We've been there somewhere before, I'm sure of it.
It's the same venue.
Right. If they've got the same colour scheme, I'm going to get a bit...
No.
Playing the same flipping walk-on songs.
Yeah.
My man on a mission. Bog off.
Which group would you like me to discuss?
Well, hang on. Let me just get the right tab up.
D or E, Catherine?
Got so many tabs up here. Right then, as promised, let's go alphabetically. Obviously, we've missed out C. so it's not going brilliantly on the alphabetical front. But let's do what we can and start with D, yeah, which features Australia, Croatia, and Hungary.
Yeah. And it fits, Catherine, because I've just mentioned how I wanted to change predictions having heard the Russia team. Well, Croatia have got my vote. Partly because I'm married to a Croatian, partly because they're 20-1.
No, totally because you're married to a Croatian.
Yeah, we don't do betting here. But actually, I need the points. So I've decided to go Hail Mary time with the prediction on Croatia to win. And
they've got a player, David, I've never heard
of. Oh, yeah, believe me, they've got a couple of those. But what they have got, unlike the all-stars of Russia, they're relying on Marin Cilic to do everything, and they're relying on Mektić and Pavic to win the double. So my theory is it's three rubbers every tie, isn't it? So Cilic will just win all the singles, and Mektić and Pavic will win all the doubles, and they will win the Davis Cup.
And Borna Gojo won't have to lift a finger.
Yeah, they've got a choice. They can go alternately between Nino Sedarušić, who's currently 242 in the world, or Borna Gojo, who's 276.
Oh, I wanted it to be Gojo.
Well, you've got to say it right, Catherine. See, I didn't get my Italian right, but I know the Croatian bit. And he's 276 in the world. Captain of the team is Vedran Martic, who used to coach Goran Ivanišević in his heyday, and also Marin Cilic more recently. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good group, this. It's a really good group because, as you said, Australia is in it and they've got just a team of familiar players. Alex de Minaur, Alexei Popperin, John Millman, Alex Bolt and John Peers, obviously a very strong doubles player with Leighton Hewitt as the captain. So that's a strong team, I think. I mean, they've got a few singles options there. I'm not exactly sure would it be de Minaur, do you think, playing doubles alongside Peers? I'm not exactly sure what they'll do there, or whether they'll go with Alex Bolt, maybe. But
he's played doubles with Cameron Norrie this year, hasn't he, de Minaur?
So we'll see. But actually, and Hungary have got Martin Fucsovics in their team. The other players, I must say, I don't know an awful lot about. 131 in the world is Attila Balázs, and then they've got Szombor Piros, Fabian Morozin, and Matej Valiush. And actually, their captain...
Sound like winners, David.
Their captain, it's quite a good story in their history because Hungary have only ever played Australia once. That was in 1995. And Hungary came back from 2-1 down to win. It was at home on red clay, but they beat a team that included Mark Filipoussis, a pretty young Filipoussis, and... Todd Woodbridge, who was playing the other singles rubber, and there were 2-1 down. They came back to win, and their captain, Gabor Kovash, was part of that team and who got the win. So that was a real upset back in the day. 3-2, they won it. But you would have thought Hungary are the underdogs in that group generally. But I think all the way through that, those are good ties. And you wouldn't be that surprised if one of those teams ended up getting through to the quarters in second as well. You know, that I could imagine them there being some close matches there.
David's predicting the most massive week for the Didmaring Šilić win accounts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Davis Cup champion 3 years ago, wasn't he? And,
yeah. Emphasis on 3 years ago.
He's in form, though, recently. He's been playing really well.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I'm telling you, that is
he's
not.
He's lower ranked than Karen Khachanov, isn't he?
It's not out of the question that Šilić and Mektić and Pavic between them win the Davis Cup just by winning two rubbers a tie.
Would it make a mockery of the format to do it without a second player of any note whatsoever?
I'll tell you what, we won't bother with that one. You can have that one. We'll just win the other two.
I mean, I don't know. I think that would be spreading it across three players, right? If they use Šilić and then a doubles team. We've seen a standout singles player do a lot of heavy lifting in the Davis Cup in the past.
Ivan
singles
Lubicic.
And doubles. Yeah. Andy Murray.
Tim Hemman used to do it, didn't he, back in the day? Okay, well, what about Group E then? United States, Italy and Colombia. And, of course, this is being played in Turin, so big deal. Big deal for Italy, led out by Yannickson. And no Matteo Berrettini, of course. I'm right that he was intending to play before this abdominal injury he sustained last week. So, not a good couple of weeks for Matteo Berrettini.
Yeah, no, it's not, has it? And actually, even so, Italy is still strong. It's quite interesting. It shows just what a good team they are. Matt's actually picked Italy to win this thing. And when you look at their team, listen to this: Jannik Sinner, Lorenzo Sonego, Fabio Fognini, Lorenzo Massetti, and Simone Bolelli. And that's still strong, even when you take Berrettini out. I mean, I do feel for Berrettini; he would have loved it, wouldn't he? But yeah, they are solid. They've got Filippo Volandri as their captain. But again, this is another interesting group between Italy and the United States. Colombia is the third team. They look well underpowered. I mean, they've got Cabal and Farah in the doubles, but singles wise, I think they're going to struggle to compete. But the US have brought a strong team. They've got John Isner, Riley Opelka, Francis Tiafoe, and then how about this for a doubles team? Jack Sock and Rajiv Ram. I mean, that's a solid doubles team with Marty Fish as the captain. So they're good. They're good teams.
That's Rajiv Ram making his Davis Cup debut, I believe, at the age of 37.
Amazing. Such a cool story, that.
Mm.
And Jack Sock doing things.
Mm. Hey, what do you think about that? Who do you think will come through? What do you think, Catherine? Do you think that will be... I mean, Matt's obviously gone for Italy to win the whole thing. Would you take Italy over the US or not?
Can I just say that...
Yeah.
Obviously Russia, but for the newsletter, Italy.
Italy in Italy. Yeah, I mean, seeing the way Jannik Sinner responded to playing in front of that crowd last week, he was a different guy, really. Brought something new out of him. If he can carry that over... I think it could be a big week for Lorenzo Musetti if he gets the opportunity to play singles. He's had a pretty torrid second half of the year since he retired for the fans at the at the French Open against Djokovic.
He doesn't seem so good on faster surfaces at the moment, does he?
And it is.
I don't think you'll get the chance.
So I don't know what the surface really is like in Madrid and Innsbruck, but I do know the surface in Turin. Assuming it's the same.
Well,
and Matt might have an update there.
Well, it's the same court, but what they have done is put a layer of green paint on it for Davis Cup colours, so that has slowed it down. And they've also changed the ball.
Okay.
So
it might not be quite as lightning quick.
So we're expecting it to be a bit slower in Turin.
Interesting.
I mean, I think Sonego.
Well, I mean, that's to the detriment of Opelka and Isner, isn't it? You'd have to say so.
Although,
yeah, I think Italy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Opelka and Isner don't mind the slow or slightly slower court. Actually, they get a bit more time on the ball on the return and on their ground strokes, and they can still hit big serves. Obviously, so I do think Italy USA is one of the standout group matches. Completely. That feels tight, doesn't it?
Because the US are going to bring it, aren't they? And they're going to be really up and about on the bench. You can just imagine how loud it's going to be. They're going to love that.
But I really hope we see that same Jannik Sinner as last week. It was a bit of a revelation, really. Actually, I mean, I really like Jannik Sinner's tennis, but in terms of his personality on court, I found him hard to engage with. But I just saw a completely different animal last week.
Quite interested to see whether he's able to play with the shackles off the way he was in that environment. I mean, there was nothing. There was no pressure, really, was there? He was kind of just drafted in, and he could just go and have a go, swing, and the crowd loved him. Suddenly, now he's the number one player, and the nation is relying on him to bring it home. Really, that's going to be interesting to see how he copes with that. I haven't seen him in an environment like that before.
No, well, I mean, everything's new for him, isn't it? So, yeah, I agree. That'll be really interesting. Innsbruck now is our third destination, which will be without fans, I believe, because the country has just gone into a lockdown. Obviously, unfortunate timing, but you know, we're still in this pandemic and these things will happen. So we have Group C. we digress to Group C, which features France, Great Britain and the Czech Republic. Now, Great Britain has a full-strength team. I know you could make a strong case for Andy Murray being in it, but ranking-wise, Cam Norrie and Dan Evans get in way ahead of him. And then you've got Liam Brody in the team as well, and Joe Salisbury and Neil Skubsky on the doubles front. Joe Salisbury, who in practice today was wearing a shirt which said on the back, "Be nice to me," and on the front, "I'm new." Because it's Davis Cup debut for him, age 29. I mean, it's nothing compared to Rajiv Ram, his partner, of course, but
nice touch, though. And actually, it's pretty cool that both of those two get their chance in this. I mean, they are proper high pedigree players. And I'm amazed that they've never played in it before. And I suspect that they will really relish it. I mean, I suppose there are question marks over Joe Sills because of his back that we saw the other day. Mm. But it's a strong team, isn't it, Britain, on paper? It doesn't strike me as a winning team, but I think that they should come through the group. I think it'll be interesting, but I would back them to come through the group.
Yes, I think I would too. Very concerned about the profile photo of Dan Evans on the Davis Cup Finals website, in which he has a worrying moustache. I don't know how recent it is, but equally, I can't remember a time in the recent past where he's had a terrible moustache, so
maybe he's doing November.
Yeah, maybe that.
Yeah, okay. Well, if it's for charity, fine. It better be for charity.
Is it a mugshot or is it an action shot?
Yeah, no, it's a mugshot and he's doing a sort of smirk.
Oh, okay. Maybe it is. I think maybe it's November then.
Okay. Well, well done, Dan. Yeah. I hope you're raising lots of money because it looks not great. give money to Dan. He's making himself look silly for charity. The French team is an interesting one. Their top ranked player is Arthur Rinderknecht.
Knecht.
No, it's a net. It's a shush. Oh. It's definitely a shush at the end. Rinderknecht.
I very nearly picked them to win the whole thing just because it's the only way I could topple you in the points, Catherine. And then I looked who was playing for them and I thought, don't be silly.
Does that mean, hang on, they can't be the longest odds?
No, but they were the longest ones that had even the remotest chance of winning.
Okay, because of Herbert and Mayu?
Correct. And Manarino's in there, isn't he?
Manarino's in there. Gasquet. Mm. But yeah, the top-ranked singles player is Rinderknecht.
I just get a bad vibe from France as a nation, really, about the Davis Cup at the moment and the Billie Jean King Cup. I mean, they competed well in Prague, that team, but they've been the most outspoken nation of not liking the new format. And I just don't think they really embrace it. There is a bit of, oh, they've changed it. It's not what it was. We had multiple finals in Lille in front of an amazing crowd. And, you know, look, I'm sure the players will compete hard for France, but, you know, in Innsbruck with no fans in particular, it's going to feel really tough. And I don't know, it's just the sort of vibe I get from France.
The other team in that group is Jiří Veselý, leading out the Czech Republic team of three other players that I have never heard of, all three. Any takers for Thomas Makak, Zdeněk Kolář, and Jiří Lehečka? I'm back in Great Britain to come through that group.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So that's Group C in Innsbruck. Also in Innsbruck, we have Group F. Back on track with the alphabetical vibe. So Serbia, I guess, are the favourites to come through Group F here. Novak Djokovic has made his intentions very clear, hasn't he, to atone for what happened 2 years ago, which was ultimate heartbreak, really. I mean, those words of Viktor Troicki will continue to live with me. I think that was an iconic Davis Cup moment, even though it was a sad negative one. It's, you know, that strength of emotion, isn't it, which carries so much of this competition.
Yeah, to me, that is maybe as significant a memory from 2 years ago as Spain winning, because of just how flawed they all were, how devastated they were in that press conference. The look in the eye of Djokovic on the court, suddenly realizing that he just couldn't carry them on his own if they weren't able to do their bit, and the frustration that gave him. That does come flooding back, and actually ended up sort of fueling their run to the ATP Cup a couple of months later, doesn't it? Because it's not the same, but they had a moment, at least out on a court with Serbian flags flying in Australia. That was, but yeah, 2 years on, I agree. I mean, you can understand why they're back and why they're back out in force.
Viktor Troicki, now the captain, of course. I feel like that's actually a more comfortable position than being on that doubles court with Novak Djokovic and feeling it all slip away and like it was all on his shoulders, and having Djokovic sort of stare at him, / be really supportive, / be really angry. It was a cocktail of emotions.
They've got Kitzmanovic, Lajovic and Krajinovic also in that team, who can all hold their own in the singles. They're obviously, you know, not a patch on Novak Djokovic, but those are decent singles players. Nikola Kacic as well, who I think is a doubles specialist. So Serbia surely favourites to come through that group. Germany are led by Jana Nedstrup. There's no Alexander Zverev. They've got two very good doubles players in Tim Puetz, who won the Paris title a couple of weeks ago alongside Michael Venus, and I was really impressed with him. He's a stylish player. They've got Kevin Kravitz as well, who's won the French Open in doubles, and then they've got Dominic Kupfer and Peter Goyovchik. So they're not, you know, that's not a shabby team, but they obviously don't have there's depth there, but they don't have the standout player that Serbia have, obviously, in Novak Djokovic. And then Austria playing at home, gutting for them to be playing without fans, absolutely gutting. But they, look, they're underpowered. They've got Denis Novak as their top-ranked singles player. They've got Gerald Meltzer, who is a younger brother of Jürgen. They've got a Meltzer anyway.
He'd better be younger.
I remember when Jürgen Meltzer made his debut. on the tour. I was there. How old does that make me?
And they've got Philip Oswald and Oliver Murak, who are good doubles players. So yeah, it's tougher than without Dominic Thiem, isn't it? I mean, that's the bottom line.
Mm. And I think in light of what you were talking about on the podcast on Monday, I think the story of that group, maybe even of this tournament, is, you know, to what depth is Djokovic willing to plunge? You know, how dark is the place he's willing to go to help Serbia lift this title? Obviously, we've spoken about the heartache of 2 years ago. I truly believe this tournament does mean a lot to him. And I think he even said as much, didn't he, in that little gap between the US Open and his return to Paris. He laid out his goals for the rest of the season, which I think were clinch the year-end number one and win the Davis Cup for Serbia. So I do think we will see a very determined Djokovic, but will we see the most determined Djokovic? Because that might be the one that's required with the strength of some of these other teams.
I would think we would, personally. I don't think he would be there unless he was going to go absolutely hell for leather. I think what will be interesting is if he gets disillusioned in any way with his teammates not doing their bit, whether he...
I love that, though. I loved seeing that. It happened in ATP Cup as well, didn't it, to Djokovic? Can't remember who he was playing with.
Well, he loves them
but
all.
But I love the world number one turning around and going, you're not as good as me.
I mean, can't you just do it like that? I would do it just like that.
Why can't you just be better?
He doesn't say this, but this is the vibe he's given off. Really,
yeah, I love it.
What, you mean you can't hit a winner with a sliding backhand?
We've all played with a rubbish partner and felt all of these emotions.
I've been the rubbish partner many times as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough being on the receiving end of it, but, you know, we've all been there. Serbia play on Friday in Innsbruck against Austria. That's their opener. Thursday, tomorrow, as we record, it kicks off in Innsbruck with France against the Czech Republic. In Turin, Thursday is Croatia against Australia, with that USA-Italy tie that we're really looking forward to on Friday afternoon. And then, yeah, over the weekend, it's a busy old schedule. I'm looking at a graphic chart showing when the matches are happening, and things just go bananas over the weekends. It's graphicized. It's not a word, is it? They're using the flags to demonstrate who's playing one another, and it's just a bonanza of flags happening over the weekend. So yeah, tennis is back. It just
tennis
won't
is
go
alive.
Away.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Dennis is alive.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to be busy, Matt.
Yes, this ends on the 5th of December. I mean, I think that's the latest finish for a tennis season I can remember. I don't know whether there's been a later one that you can recall.
Matt, you're only, you're showing your youth with that one. I mean,
there's a load of players playing a tournament in Abu Dhabi in mid-December, less than 2 weeks after the Davis Cup finishes, because the that Abu Dhabi exhibition has moved, hasn't it? Which is traditionally, I think, played in that week between Christmas and New Year. It feels like the sort of the first taste of new season tennis you get. Well, that's moved
December 16th, Andy Murray's playing Dominic Thiem.
I mean, so the tennis season will officially end for 11 days. Mm. Great. Enjoy. That is not even long enough for a proper Maldives holiday.
I've been seeing a few of those on Instagram. They've all been on.
There can't be enough islands in the Maldives for them not all to be bumping into one another. They must just all be in the same hotels. The last thing you'd want to see is, I was going to say Dominic Kupfer, but we know he's at the Davis Cup. I was reaching for around. Oh, there's Denis Shapovalov. Great. Just who I wanted to see on my holiday. Anyway, speaking. I don't know what we were. I don't know
what are
we
you
were
segueing
speaking.
Into?
I don't know. There's one bit of news we've had today, broken by Simon Briggs. Big scoop for Briggs, David. You congratulated him on it, didn't you?
Yeah, I certainly did acknowledge that he'd got a scoop. He got big exclusive in the words of the Telegraph, because they were saying that, or Simon's reporting that they are moving the Davis Cup to Abu Dhabi for a 5-year period, is what the report says. You may recall that it was 3.5 years ago when the initial announcement was made that this was going to be a year-end finals as opposed to its traditional format of home and away all the way through four stages, and that it would be held in Madrid. And it was bought by Cosmos, who's backed by Gerard Piquet, the footballer, and his marketing group. And obviously 2 years ago, Matt was there. We brought podcasts on from the inaugural Davis Cup finals. And this is the second installment, obviously after last year being unable to play it. Now, the ITF have actually responded to the press conferences and the speculation and the report, particularly from Simon, that has come out today. And they say speculation about a host for Davis Cup finals is nothing new. The ITF board is reviewing host cities for 2022 together with Cosmos and expect to make a decision by the end of the finals. So, well, yeah, we should have confirmation one way or another in a week and a half's time or something like that. Simon was pretty adamant in his piece. He was pretty confident, I think, that was going to happen. And it was interesting when I was in Leon Smith's press conference today, the Great Britain Davis Cup captain, and he was actually asked, what do you think of this setup? What do you think of the event being held in Madrid? And he was generally positive about the experience from 2 years ago and hopeful that this would go well, gutted about the fact that there were no fans in Innsbruck where Britain are going to play their round robin matches. But, as Matt said, there's going to be some full houses. I think generally, Matt, you've said that you're expecting a bigger turnout generally at this Davis Cup finals than there was 2 years ago. And obviously Italy playing in Turin helps and all that sort of thing. And really, that's what Leon said. He said that's what it comes down to. The success of these events, of the Davis Cup generally, historically, is the atmosphere. And I think, I would imagine we all agree with that. I certainly do. To me, the atmosphere is what sets this thing apart. And that's what I care about the most. And Leon was saying he had heard one or two things. At that point, Simon's piece hadn't come out, so we didn't know about this. But I suspect that may be what he was alluding to, and he couldn't be categorically honest as to whether this was going to happen. But he made that same point, that the players all want to play in an atmosphere. And I suppose the concern is, if you take it to Abu Dhabi, can you guarantee an atmosphere? That's certainly one of the points. That's a big concern. I'd be doubtful. But that's one of my first concerns.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is one of the concerns about taking it to somewhere like Abu Dhabi. I mean, there are sort of tennis concerns, I suppose. You could sort of bracket them up as, would there be an atmosphere? How does a home nation play in that event? You know, these are sort of the tennis concerns. But I think the much bigger concerns are human rights, to be quite honest. I mean, in a week where we've talked a lot and praised the WTA for standing up to China and not just sort of blindly following the money. And here we are talking about, you know, sort of selling out to Abu Dhabi, where homosexuality is illegal, women's rights are horrific. It's not just another sort of soulless venue. It's a very problematic one, I think, if it does end up going there.
Yeah, that's my main concern as well. I mean, I know we'll get a lot of whataboutery in response to this. You know, as soon as you start going down the analysis of countries' human rights records, then, you know, no one's hands are clean, are they? You know, should tennis have been played in the US under the Trump administration? You could cast aspersions on the UK's human rights record and some of the things that we've invested in. But yeah, to borrow a quote from a rival podcast, Philippe Auclair on the Guardian Football Weekly, we're all dialing with the devil. We just have to decide on the length of our spoon. And for me, the spoon should not be long enough to extend to places where homosexuality is illegal as an absolute, and certain rights that aren't afforded to women in Abu Dhabi as well. I realize there are other, you know, there are other concerns. You know, we're all doing a dance. Yeah, there's a whole lot of whataboutery that you can get lost in. But I do think homosexuality being illegal ought to be an absolute. So I don't know. It's not a done deal. We'll see. We will see. What does tomorrow look like for you, Matt, as on the ground Davis Cup man?
Potentially a lion.
not the, I mean, brilliant, but not the answer I was expecting.
Well, as I said, you some stuff to do then, Matt.
Well, as I said, with these matches starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there is actually quite a lot of free time before that. We are expecting the Russian team press conference before the match gets underway. They've not been in yet because Daniil Medvedev hadn't arrived. He's now here, so hopefully get a chance to speak to him. And then, yeah, it's Canada versus Sweden. And David mentioned the attendances that are expected. The figure I've heard for that is about 4,000 fans for Canada versus Sweden, which, look, it's not going to be full by any means. This is the Madrid Arena, I should say, not the Magic Box. You know, it is smaller than the Magic Box. This is where the Madrid Masters was played when it was an indoor tournament in November. But I think 4,000 would be a very good turnout for Canada, Sweden. If all of those arrive, you know, there'd be a good noise in there. So let's hope that is the case.
You've reminded me, Matt, of a very important other bit of business, which somehow was omitted from our agenda. The Tatler photo shoot that the Medvedevs have done.
Oh, yes.
Daniil and Daria. It's racy stuff. David doesn't know how to deal with this. He's just thinking, don't come to me, don't come to me. He's done a photo shoot in the Russian issue of Tatler with his wife, Daria. And it's a new side of Daniil. It's definitely not corporate Medvedev that you were worried about 2 years ago, David. It's sort of soft porn Medvedev.
Which is not a version I was expecting anytime soon or ever. But no, I'm thoroughly behind it, just because it isn't corporate Medvedev. I like the fact that he put that out there and he knows it will get a reaction, and he's curious about what it'll be, and he's amused at it all.
Yeah, he knows some people's sensibilities will be offended by the fact that, you know, there's some leg and there's some, you know, him touching leg. But he doesn't mind that. I think it's great. I think, yeah, good luck to them. Any comment, Matt? You thinking, don't come to me.
No, I'm just wondering whether you're going to make me ask Medvedev about it tomorrow.
And, oh, that's a good idea.
And how I put that.
Now you've said that. Yes, please.
Great idea,
I think he wants. I think he wants to get asked about it, Matt.
I think Matt wants to ask it.
Yeah, I think I definitely want to hear the answer.
Do I use the word soft porn question or not?
Who came up with the idea for the poses? The one, in particular, the one in the back of the limo. I'm particularly interested in. Anyway, if your interest is piqued, then. The photos are available on the internet. I think that is. I think everybody would be grateful if I wrapped this show, wouldn't they? Not before mentioning Caper, our lovely mascot for the week, Caper the Cocker Spaniel, named after Cape Cod. Lovely.
Yeah. by the way, can I also tell you about the code that we have for discounted tickets?
Ooh. Yes, please.
If somebody still wants to go to Madrid or Turin, where you can still get tickets for the Davis Cup finals, obviously you can't, unfortunately, in Innsbruck. But yeah, we've got a tennis podcast code. And all you have to do is go to the Davis Cup finals website to the ticketing section and just stick in the word tennis podcast, all uppercase. No spaces in it. You'll get 15% off.
That's a great code.
Yeah.
Just the words tennis podcast. Great. So yeah, do that. Other admin, Rogue, Scousel, Mousel, Zeus. This is our last shot at glory for the year. I've gone for Russia because I've no need for Hail Marys because I'm sitting pretty at the top.
Catherine's just edging a yard at a time towards the line.
Yeah. Billie Jean is sponsored by Billie Jean King. She's still with my brother, but she's back on Friday. So her return is eagerly anticipated. Chris Albert Lee is our executive producer. Hello, Chris Albert Lee. You're a top bloke, as always. We'll be back with our next tennis podcast on
Sunday.
Sunday. After the group stages, when all sorts of madness will have happened. I mean, looking at that weekend schedule, we're going to be, well, David and I will be fine. I don't know what state we'll find Matt in. But if he's having lions, then I'll stop worrying about him. So we'll be back with our next tennis podcast on Sunday. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Leave us an iTunes review. Hey, definitely subscribe to the newsletter because they'll keep coming and there is good stuff in there. We will speak to you on Sunday.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.